The dungeon rats murdered the entire royal family of Naporia and have been punished to a fate worse than death. For they are forever trapped in the endless dungeon. And it's your job to keep them there and make them suffer through your most wicked creations. Gang known as the Dungeon Rats are Rhoda the Ruthless.
I'm Rhoda. I'm a dragonborn fighter blessed with thunder thighs to crush my enemies and impress my crushes.
Bugfly the Bewitched.
I'm Bugfly and I'm a rogue Darrow. My favorite hobbies include trinket hoarding, hugs, and building complex explosive devices capable of causing catastrophic damages to every man, woman, and child. And aromatherapy.
Gilf the Godless.
Gifted with a keen eye for detective work, while cursed with arcane magic running through my tiefling blood, I truly am the most dangerous of adversaries.
Daryl, the Demonic.
I am Daryl, Dust Goblin, Paladin of the Order of the Possum God, Servant of the Great Pouch. I have pamphlets if you're interested.
Beauregard, the Beheader.
I am Beauregard, the Half-Orc Paladin, condemned for the sins of my past, but hopeful for redemption in the future.
And Rot, the Rotten.
Hey guys, I'm your fearless leader!
I used to be a goblin, but now I'm just a hand.
Welcome back to the Dungeon Rats, an interactive Dungeons & Dragons adventure. It is thanks to you, Brave Guardian, that we are able to keep Naporia's most wanted trapped in the endless dungeon. You can submit your monsters, plot twists, magic items, or anything else by going to thedungeonrats.com, following us on the tweet machine at thedungeonrats, or by reaching out directly to Pat at PatLikesToTweet. We have had many submissions, more than we could have ever anticipated, and I promise you, we try to make every one possible. But alas, sometimes it is very hard to get the resources together to pull them off. But fear not, because this week we delve deeper into the horror created by Austin Lee Pritchett and Nick. Now, to catch you up, here is what has happened so far. Pimwan, the halfling scout, proved to be a henchman to the Lich Crimbalm. He had sold his soul for a merit badge, and Bugfly slit Pimwan's throat for Zalister. For Zalister was a halfling companion to Pimwan, but a protege to Bugfly. The Dungeon Rats were able to dispatch the undead wizard and found the rest of Pimwan's half-scout troop. But something about them seemed wrong. They began to lose shape, hair, eye color, and became empty shells of what they once were. Sari, a young halfling female, was the last to keep her sanity, and she warned of a change coming to the dungeon. She warned of the spread of a new darkness that would consume everyone, and the half-scout troop had failed to stop it. It was ominous. But trust us, Guardian, there is absolutely nothing to worry about. Despite there being a few minor problems, like I once accidentally said Dottie was a red dragon when she was actually bronze, and somehow Beauregard's cat snuck in the dungeon, oh, and the once mighty wizard Crimbalm had turned into an evil lich, besides these very minor instances, everything is under control. Ugh. Anyway, back to the dungeon rats. They investigated the area, and they found a small, hidden blade in a hidden pocket on Crimbalm. And within the room, they discovered a caged prisoner named Kanos. I am shocked that Kanos is still alive, for he is the first prisoner to ever enter the Endless Dungeon. He claimed to know the one way out, which is false, there are no ways out, but before he could tell them anything, his protector awoke. Dwayne the Rock Gollum Johnson began kicking the dungeon rats' candy asses all over the dungeon. And this is where we are now. I'd like to thank BattleBards for letting us use their sound effects. It's a mighty collection of sounds and can be yours by going to BattleBards.com. Now, let's get back to Gilf as he psychs himself up for the fight of his pathetic life.
Gilf has just had heroism placed on him, and he's at 3 hit points right now. He goes up an extra 2, and he is no longer as cautious as he usually is, and his voice has deepened a little bit. he's flexing muscles that maybe he hasn't flexed before or ever, and he winds up and pitches magic missile at the golem's kneecaps.
Okay, great.
2-2, so 4 and 5. So 9 altogether.
His body gets hit up.
Hey, little one, what class are you?
Who are you calling little?
It doesn't matter!
But I'm calling you little.
It hits him in the knees, and you see cracks start to form.
Then I'm going to charge him, go low, and hit him in the knees. Got 1 hit point left. Let's see if this works.
Oof, that's going to be an 11.
So as you go for his knees, he jumps over your body, lands on the upper, the other side of you, turns around and goes,
"You should have hit the gym more, big guy."
As that happens, in the background, you can see just like Redemption smelling one of the corpses.
Daryl, you're up.
As I look at Beauregard's just like mangled body, struggling to wrestle and wondering why he took off all of his armor, I take a spear or a javelin out that I have, and I say to myself, "Why do I always have to save everyone?" At the same time, casting Ensnaring Strike, throw the javelin at...
Is Ensnaring Strike a bonus action?
It's 1 bonus action. Great. Casting time. The next time you hit a creature with a weapon attack, before this spell ends, a writhing mass of thorny vines appears at the point of impact, and the target must succeed on a strength saving throw or be restrained by the magical vines until the spell ends. A large or larger creature has advantage on this saving throw. If the target succeeds on the save, the vines shrivel away.
Roll to see if you hit him with the javelin.
19 plus 4, so that's 23.
So that hits?
Yep, 4 damage.
But he's ensnared,
right? Yes.
Ah, all these vines emerge from the ground, trying to hold back Dwayne, the Rock Golem Johnson. But he's easily able to pull himself out of it. He looks you in the eye and says, "Know your role, jabroni! You little punk!"
I was.
But The Rock wouldn't.
He wouldn't. He's a fairy. He was in The Mummy.
Yeah.
What he was in The Mummy.
He's the nicest trash talker ever. Yeah. Bugfly, you're up.
So I'm going to run up to Daryl and I'm going to be like, "Where's the dagger? Hey, do you have the
dagger?
I don't
see how that could be relevant. You. Can you please fight this thing?"
No.
It's just a stupid dagger. I don't know how that could be relevant. What do you want?
Give me the dagger and I'll give you something out of my trinket box. I'll trade you. Do you like this? And it's like a giant piece of like a random amethyst that I have. hey, do you like this? It's shiny.
Look, take the dagger. It's fine. I don't want your thing.
Great. Run. Take the dagger. And I want to stab the golem with the dagger.
So I've got to tell you this. That is your move. Getting the dagger is going to be your action.
Totally fine.
The Rock is up. He looks at Beauregard. He goes, "Are you ready for the people's elbow?" He winds up.
If I answer no, will he not attack me?
He rips off his armband, throws it into the audience.
Can he say at one point, "I can't believe you took your armor for granted"?
So he winds up, he bounces off one wall, bounces off the other wall, comes back, jumps high into the air, and sinks an elbow right into your back. For 5 damage.
No.
He lands it into your back and you black out. Dwayne, the Rock Golem Johnson, raises one eyebrow and looks at all of you, pretty impressed with himself. Rhoda, you're up.
Pretty pissed about everything that's happening here. Just gonna take that hefty spear and I'm gonna finish the job that I started last time.
On his groin?
All the way to his heart. And I'm still going to take that axe across his ankles.
Yeah, trying to get those legs knocked out from him.
Oh, yeah, baby.
18 and yeah.
25.
Yeah, they both
hit.
Yeah,
baby.
So roll that d12, add 5, and then roll a d8 and add 5.
28?
Nope.
It's the one that looks like a penis.
It's the one that, this is how we got into this last time.
Okay, I got it.
I just imagine us being really old going to, like, Pat's funeral. And I'll put, like, D8s on.
Can we lay them out in the shape of a dick. Oh,
on his face.
Yep. And then I just put my hand on the part of the coffin where his head is, and I was like, now it looks like a dick.
No, it's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, and we all fly away in our space cars.
Dead Pat would love that.
I love how we're all assuming I'm going to outlive Pat.
Yeah, we all assume that Pat's going to die first. Like,
guys, I've switched to a plant-based diet.
I'm going to live forever.
Ten? Nine. Yeah, so I leap forward once again with my spear, and I shove it up into his balls, and I push really hard, but, like, not that hard because loose much, and it goes straight up. Okay, you should probably tell me how far it goes.
No. As it's going into his body, he goes, ah, my scorpion king! You had that one locked and loaded.
Oh, I thought of it as soon as she jammed it.
And then I swing across with my axe, and it goes into his ankle.
And he's down to 1 foot.
This foot is going to be a trophy on my wall, if I had walls, but I don't, because I'm kind of a nomad. But if I did, it would be a trophy. Do you hear that, dweeb?
Excuse me? I have the championship belt, for I am the Intercontinental Champion! Of the Endless Dungeon!
He holds it up.
Whoa. Can we all just get a...
She's slow clapping you right now, jabroni.
Gilf, now at 5 hit points.
Oh, I keep going up.
Yep, it keeps going up until the spell wears off.
Oh, awesome. So Gilf gains another 2 hit points. He's at 5. He's feeling what it means to be a true hero, which he's never felt before, and casts Ray of Frost on him, on that other leg that is... can you target
or a person? Can. Or it do you... technically puts you at disadvantage when you do.
Okay, I'm just going to target him then. 14.
14 is a miss. Damn it. So this Ray of Frost leaves your hands and hits the cell behind you.
Belgard, we need you to roll your death saves. So as you see here, you got 3 and 3. You roll d20. There's no modifiers. Under 10 means you are unable to fight off death this round. Above 10 means you are able to fight off death.
Correct, correct.
And a nat 20 automatically.
18. Nope.
All right. You are fighting off death.
Woo! Oh, yeah, baby.
Daryl, you're up.
So all my spell slots are used up. I kind of get what Bugfly is going to go for. And can I move and throw a javelin so that I can try? What I'm going to attempt to do is get the stone golem to turn its back to Bugfly.
So you can try to draw the attention of the golem?
Yes.
Yeah, easily.
Yep. And can I throw a javelin at the same time?
Yes, you can. Yeah. I would argue that that would draw his attention.
Right, exactly. So I start moving to another side, and I start going, look, big boy, I can see under your strong exterior. You're actually a sweetheart. You're actually not that strong at all. Without all those muscles, you're just a little sweetie baby. Here we go. I'm gonna strike right at your soft sausagey core.
When you walk up to opportunity's door, don't knock it. Kick that bitch in, smile, and introduce yourself.
Okay, well, hello. My name is Daryl, and I throw the javelin.
That's a real pun.
I know, that's great.
Yeah.
Yep, I throw it at him. Hello, my name's Daryl.
There you go.
7.
It doesn't matter what your name is!
Did it work? He is facing me and completely has his back to Bugfly God.
Hey guys, I'm getting pretty worn down. It'd be help if anybody else could hit this monster.
I'm totally gonna hit him for you.
You know, Gilf, this is the first time that I've had any sort of respect for you. It's the first time I've actually seen you make any decisions worth fighting for, and I really like that about you right now, but, like, follow through, man.
I'm totally following through. I'm everyone's greatest hero tonight.
That's a contest between you and the stone ass.
All right, you're up.
I
see that the rock golem is distracted.
Dwayne the Rock Golem Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock Golem Johnson is distracted. So I run up behind him with the ceremonial dagger. I'm assuming he has very large and supple calf muscles like the regular rock.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, supple.
Why supple?
Like the ideal man.
And how do you know?
Rocks?
I might have a crush. Mm. It's fine. Anyway, so...
He strikes me as a handsome fella.
Very handsome. So I use...
I'm straight and I have eyes, but I can't recognize that he's handsome. So I'm just going to assume that he's handsome.
What? No, I'm saying he strikes me as a handsome guy.
He's a handsome
fellow.
You can
just say he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
There you go.
I just used more words to say the same thing.
He strikes him, though. Strikingly handsome. That's what he's saying. He strikes him. He's not just handsome. He's strikingly,
strikingly
he strikes
handsome.
Being struck as handsome is more handsome.
Than regular handsome.
Right. Yeah. Handsome that reach out and just slaps you across the face.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like unavoidable handsomeness.
Yeah.
It's the kind of handsome that just gets inside of your body as soon as you look at it.
It's the type of handsome that if, like, he said this to a man, he would feel uncomfortable. You know, if Peck went up to him and was like, you're strikingly handsome, he would feel a little bit more uncomfortable as opposed to, like, hey, you're handsome.
Yeah, but if I said to The Rock, you're strikingly handsome, he
would
kind of shrug at you and go, like, yeah, I know,
dude. He probably hears it all the time. Yeah. That's what it is.
He's strikingly handsome.
Again, what I would say is I would go up to The Rock and I would say, hello, Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I feel like you're inside me right now.
I would say, hi, Mr. Dwayne.
Oh, shit. And that would be it.
Okay.
Right. I hope he hears this. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, he's absolutely listening. This isn't Vin Diesel, all right?
No,
Vin Diesel plays D&D.
Vin Diesel.
No. Yeah.
So, yes, what I do is I'm running at him, and his back is facing towards me. And so with his calves, I use them to propel me up. So I climb him, and I take the dagger, and I try to stab for his heart. And I use my own body to make that strike. So I have him in my arms, and I strike towards me so I have more force. 21.
21?
I did it, yeah.
All right. So you climb up his back. He's not paying attention to you at all. This knife enters into right where his heart, had he had a heart, would be. From the center of the knife emerges all these cracks. Light emits from behind the cracks. His pecs start to fall off. His arms start to fall off. His legs break at every joint, and he crumbles beneath you.
Wow!
Underneath, he looks exactly like Gilf.
I want to run forward and catch Bugfly.
Okay, catch her.
Oh, Bugfly! Oh, you took down this horrible beast. And I, like, dive roll on my shoulder, and I, like, kneel up, and I raise my arms, and I close my eyes.
Roll athletics for me.
This is so beautiful. I hope it works.
Oh, yeah.
21,
22. Yeah, she lands elegantly in your arms.
Aw.
Aw.
On the way down, her hair gets done.
Okay, so Gilf's heroism is wearing off, I assume.
Yes.
Side note, do I start losing my hit points once
it goes back down? It's like it goes back down to one, so you're feeling real good. I walk over to you as you like collapse, as Gilf collapses to the ground, kind of feeling all the life leap from him. And I put my hands on him and use lay hands to heal some health points. So I heal Gilf 5 hit points by I take his head in my hands. I make him look at me as like, without me, you are nothing.
Wait, what?
That's why it was personal, Jesus Christ.
And I heal him up.
Bugs, like, check out what Daryl's doing to Gilf right now.
And you're still holding
me. He's
so
powerful.
And I'm like, oh my God.
I look into Gil's eyes and I'm like,
I don't want it.
Every
don't
good,
touch me.
Every good feeling
no,
you've
it.
Ever had
what are you doing? I don't
is
like
because
it.
Of me.
No, stop it. Whatever this is.
And
I
heal
don't
him
want
5
it.
Points
go
and
away.
I let him go.
Okay.
Feel good about it.
Now, your friend Beligard is still laying on the
floor.
Oh,
this all happens right next to Beligard's dead body. Dead naked body.
Why is he naked?
He's oiled up. Yeah. He took off all my armor.
He took off all his clothes and he oiled himself up.
He set himself up to die.
Does he have to roll again, do another saving throw?
Well,
right,
it depends on what you guys choose to do.
I still have one crumpet.
If I see Bugfly getting ready to feed him a crumpet, I jump on top of Beligard and I hold his head in my hands.
You jump on top of a oiled, naked Beligard.
Yep. I put my hands on his head and I heal him 5 hit points just before the crumpet. I push her away. This is personal too. I heal him 5 hit points and as his eyes open, I say, "Without me, you are nothing." Remember this, the way of the possum is the only way. And I give him a quick smooch, but like a really condescending one on the forehead, and I leave.
Like a Bugs Bunny to Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And in this hoopla, because he's doing that, and because he's so greasy, and I'm so like forceful, that crumpet actually goes to waste.
Yeah. It just crumbles into nothing.
It just
nothing.
Crumbles, and nobody gets it.
Also, Redemption is trying to crawl on top of Beligard,
but
it's just like sliding and like getting greasier and greasier, and she's like,
and then Redemption eats the scraps of the crumpet and is at full health.
And grows 5 extra tails. No, that's not, that doesn't happen. Okay.
You fought well.
Oh yeah, I forgot about you.
Oh yeah. Hey, what's up, guy?
I must be important. There was a rock golem trying to keep me contained.
Buddy, why are you here?
Who the hell are we talking to?
This is Crone. What's his
name? Oh, the old guy behind
Canos. Oh, wow. You legitimately, we were all pretending like we forgot about him, but you legitimately forgot about him. Okay. Oh, Ram, where are you right now, dude? Come on, man.
It's all oiled up on the floor.
You're super distracted by your fantasy wrestle with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Okay, that's fair.
I am Canos, the first prisoner of the dungeon.
Yeah, I know. We're really tired. We just fought this stone golem and stuff. I don't know. Prove your worth, I guess.
I can show you the one way out.
I want to roll a history to see if, like, Gilf knows who Canos is. 12.
You reach through your memory banks and you realize that Canos, yes, he was the very first person that they tested this new form of torture on.
I would know this as one of the members of the royalty. Yes.
Do we know what he did?
I just don't remember.
There was a darkness invented for this one. I do not know why, but it was particularly made for him.
And that is why I'm the only one who can get us out.
I've got an idea. Let's free this guy, and then let's put fucking Rot in the cage.
Hey! Cages can't contain me! I am the metagame!
All right, that's probably
why
fair.
Does he keep saying that?
I don't know what that means.
I don't understand it, but it makes sense to me.
It makes no sense to me, but I understand it.
Hey, Rot, I've got a question for you. When you finger someone, is it just sex for you?
Oh, dang! Those are important questions.
Yeah, like is like a hand job.
You guys. I have not had sex.
I used to be
a goblin, and that was just sex.
I know, but
now I'm in this hand. I haven't had sex since I've been in this hand. I really don't have the desire.
Do you want to experiment
with you, Beligard?
No. I mean, goblins and
Canos is just watching all of this happen in front of him. He hasn't had contact with anyone in like years, and all he's watching is like these fucking idiots talk to a hand about how he finger bangs people.
And he's just like, you know what? I might want to stay in the cage. I think I might want to stay in the cage.
Like, I miss that rock guy.
I mean, I've had weirder.
You know, right? If you're just attracted to other rots, totally cool. But if there's just two hands, how's that work out for you?
One of us makes a circle, and the other one points their finger. Okay, I'm done with this. I'm done with this.
Right.
But side note,
I don't know. I just imagine that's what we would do if I met another hand.
Hey, Canos.
Yes.
Give me three reasons why we should trust you.
Reason number one.
Great.
Already? You got to hear him out. What was that?
Reason number two.
Reason number one. He just had half a reason number one. Is that all it was?
He was really prepared.
He wasn't prepared at all. You didn't even give him a chance.
I feel like he was ready.
Don't talk back to Bugfly. She knows what she's doing. She knows everything.
I'm convinced. Let's hear reason number two.
I know who the new warden is.
Oh, hell yeah.
He pulls a skeleton hand out of his pocket. And he says, this will point you in his direction. You see, all I need is the hand of the warden.
Well, just take the hand and
now
you we're
can't
good.
Reach. He's behind the bars.
Hold on. Let me clarify what I think I just heard before Beauregard rudely reached towards the cage, which he couldn't even get his hand through.
Just clunking at the outside of the bar.
This skeletal hand will point us towards the exit of the dungeon.
No.
Nope. Okay, cool. I misheard. Good thing we were clarifying. What did you say?
This skeletal hand will point you towards the warden. And all I need is the hand of the warden. And this door will be unlocked.
You want us to bring you the hand of someone to get out of your cage? Well, I'm just going to break you out of this cage right now.
She's so strong.
Roll strength.
22.
You pull as hard as you can on the bars of this cage. They do not move in the slightest.
What?
There's only one other option. Bugfly,
yes?
Grease up. Get in there.
All right, here I go.
It's one of those cages that's all squares, though. Like, all tiny squares. And she's just pushing her head up against, like, this little cube.
And I'm just, like, spitting on my head. Yeah. So, it, like, goes, but it's not.
Let's say we do take this skeleton hand. Why should we come back to get you? Why shouldn't we just kill the warden and get out of here?
Well, we are doing that, but we couldn't actually leave. We wouldn't actually know the way out.
Yeah.
Gilf, you are very smart. You can choose to do whatever you want. But if you take this hand, it will point you towards the warden.
Kanos, what can you tell us about what went on in earlier with this lich and their little kids? And those little kids. Can you tell us anything about that?
No. I have just been here in my cell for so long. Things happen out there. And time passes.
Ugh. Okay, so what is the structure of the cell? Like, what does it look like? Is it the grids?
Mm-hmm. And it's very thick.
So we can't get the hand out of it, right?
That's what I was thinking. Can he put the hand through one of the... the squares?
Yes. That's a real problem.
Let's say it's like the size of like a rabbit's paw. Like a little tiny hand.
It's more of a finger than a hand.
Oh, cool. Dope, dope.
Dope, dope.
Yeah, tight. Yeah, tight.
Bugfly's new catchphrase.
Superfly.
You probably haven't seen anybody in a really long time, and I just wanted to tell you that I think that you're great. And also, if you give me that hand, that we will find the warden. And also, you could probably hug me from where you are through that, right? And I'm just going to try to, like, hug him through the bars. And then, like, that's what I'm doing.
To take the skeletal finger?
I want to do both. I want to hug him to let him know that he's not alone, because it's important to me. And also, I want to take the thing with his permission.
It has been so long since I felt the flesh of the living.
He goes to hug you.
Aww.
He hands you the finger, and he goes, this will do you well in finding Antolio Licolai.
Beauregard gets real quiet, and his hand goes to the leaf around his neck. His head just lowers, his shoulders sag. Everything about him seems to kind of collapse inside himself. And Redemption just skitters over, jumps up onto his shoulder, presses the head against his face, and he leans in. It seems to be the only thing that's comforting right now is the cat.
I walk towards Beauregard, and I just look at him.
Beauregard has this look on his face like someone died as soon as he heard that name. And he looks at everyone else and kind of like reads the room a little bit. And he goes to Beauregard and he's like, hey, is everything okay? Did you know this guy?
I appreciate your concern, my friend.
We knew each other well. The person I was once knew him. There is yet another thing you do not know about me. Let me tell you of the time when I was an elf.
End of episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dice.
Flashback.
Meanwhile, at the official headquarters of the Court of Crowns. Please, come into my office.
Oh yeah, right away, yeah.
So, you are a duck?
Yeah, I'm a duck. Pretty much, I hang out in the pond, behind the castle, sometimes the kids throw bread at me. It's a life.
Well, have you ever heard of the Court of Crowns?
No. I was just hanging out and swimming in the back over there, and then one of your guys just like scooped me up and put me in a cage and brought me here. All of a sudden, I'm just waiting in this waiting room, waiting for you to come in.
Well, at the Court of Crowns, we're an organization that brings ideas to life.
No.
Do you like ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I get ideas all the time.
Mm. Well, we had a great idea from Rogue Spectre, and I'm trying to bring it to life.
Okay, I don't know what that is. I don't know exactly. I don't even know how I can help you with that one. I'm just a duck. Just a duck, man, I mean.
Have you ever heard of a T-Rex?
A Tyrannosaurus Rex? Yeah.
Yeah. Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, the dinosaur?
Yeah, big dinosaur. Yep.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Have you ever heard of fire breath?
Yeah. That's something dragons have. They're deadly. I had an Uncle Frank. He got burned to a crisp.
By a dragon?
By a dragon, an onlooker. There was a battle going on, a guy in a shiny suit. He got fried up, and my Uncle Frank, because he's a real curious type of quacker, he waddles up on this guy, and he got burned to a crisp. God rest his soul.
I feel bad for your uncle.
Nah, it's okay. He's a duck. No one cares about ducks.
No, they don't, although they're very scary.
Wait, what?
Yeah, with those big bills.
Ducks?
Those wings. Now, would you imagine a world where a T-Rex and a duck had sex?
No, why? How would that? Logistics, like, just in terms of anatomy, that wouldn't even happen. I don't even understand why. I'm sorry. I'm so flabbergasted here. I don't even understand. Why would you need a duck and a T-Rex? Why would that be scary? I mean, it's scary. It's scary if you're the duck.
No.
I would have to agree with that.
Imagine the output of a T-Rex and a duck having sex. It would be a Tyrannosaurus duck, the scariest creature known to man.
First of all, that seems really hard and impossible, but the T-Rex is already bringing a lot to the table in terms of fear. You got the size, you got the muscle, you got the teeth, okay? You got the speed, and on the other hand, it's just a duck. It's just like a little duck. It's a little fuzzy. It's a little
Mr. Duck,
feathered duck.
You're not following along with me.
Picture this
in your mind, okay?
Okay.
It's the size of a T-Rex with a long tail and tiny wings instead of arms. It's all covered in feathers and has a duck head and teeth in its bill. How scary is that?
Okay, I'm not saying anything about your thought process here. This is all brainstorming, and
there's no judgment. This is a request.
This is a request?
From Rogue Spectre.
Wait,
he wants to see it in the endless. I mean, he wants this idea brought to life.
Wait, what was that? What did you just almost say right now?
I almost said idea.
I didn't get that. I didn't understand that part. But who is this guy who wants to crossbreed a duck and a Tyrannosaurus? It doesn't even make sense. I could see if you wanted to crossbreed like a Tyrannosaurus Rex and maybe like a lion or a shark, because then it can go under the water or something like that, and like breathe down there, and it's also menacing. But like a duck, man, I could barely eat bread. I don't even chew it. I just swallow bread. I can't even chew the bread that I'm eating.
How intimidating!
Okay, I don't think you...
You don't even have to chew your bread! You're so powerful!
I don't think you really understand what ducks are. We're real tiny birds, okay? A Tyrannosaurus... First of all, I don't even understand how I'm supposed to impregnate a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I'm saying this because, like, I'm not even going to acknowledge the fact that you might be saying that a Tyrannosaurus Rex impregnates a duck, because then that duck would have to give birth to a Tyrannosaurus Rex, which doesn't even make sense.
Hey, like, it's all eggs.
No, it's not. It's not all eggs. That doesn't even make sense. Yeah, first of all, that egg would explode from growth on the inside, and that duck would be split apart. I'm gonna give you benefit of the doubt. Maybe the Tyrannosaurus Rex gives birth to some type of duck Tyrannosaurus Rex baby. But I gotta tell you, it's pretty light as far as contribution goes on the duck side.
What do you mean? Tiny little wings for arms.
I don't think you
know. A bill with teeth in it.
I understand. You've said that before.
It's scary.
It's real. People aren't scared of us at all.
The prisoners are going to hate it.
The prisoners?
The co-workers are going to be so scared.
You're a real shady guy. I gotta tell you, I've met a lot of guys. When I'm in the park, I see a lot of shady guys. A lot of guys in trench coats. A lot of guys looking at women. A lot of guys doing shady stuff. You're pretty shady as far as that goes. I wouldn't lump you in. You're not a park person. You're definitely not a park person. But I tell you what, I've never had a park person ask if I do it with a Tyrannosaurus Rex, just so Tyrannosaurus Rex has little wings. That's a little weird, okay?
All right, I'm going to level with you. I've never been outside.
You never been outside before?
No.
It's gorgeous out there. You should go. I'm out there all the time.
I have a very important job.
Well, I got to tell you something. I'm a duck. Mm-hmm. I'm a duck, and my quality of life, I mean, is like, I would consider it extremely better than your quality of life at this time. Like, this is a pretty dank, like, office you got here.
Did you mean dank in a good or bad way?
You got mold growing in that. These are stone walls, and it's all dark in here. You got some candles burning in the corner over there. I don't know what that cauldron's doing, but it looks like it's bubbling, and you seem like a nice guy, okay? You just need to get out. Get out in the world, okay?
I don't have time, for the people of Naporia need me to keep them safe.
I mean, I guess so. I just don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing. I mean, I don't understand how I'm supposed to contribute in this way.
You're supposed to have sex with a T-Rex. I think I made that clear.
Okay, that's
the only way to keep our streets safe, Mr. Duck. If you have sex with a fire-breathing T-Rex.
Okay, have you talked to the T-Rex?
Not yet. That's next on my list.
You thought the hard part was going to be me first? You wanted to work your way down? You thought if you can convince the duck first and then the T-Rex will fall into place?
Yes. It's a term we use here at the Endless Dungeon. It's called low-hanging fruit. You pick that first, and then you deal with the hard stuff.
Okay. I completely understand where you're coming from. I tell you what. You get me a bottle of Chianti. You set on some nice... minstrel music in the background. Maybe I can get it going. I don't even know what the anatomy of a T-Rex looks like, to be honest. Maybe I can't do this.
So you're into it? You're in?
No, I'm not into this.
You're in?
No, I'm not into this at all.
The prisoners of the Endless Dungeon have no idea what's coming at them.
See, you said that thing again.
What? Oh, God. Hey y'all, Rot here, fearless leader of the Dungeon Rats. How about that new segment? The producers of this show must be really trying to get as many submissions into the podcast as possible. So please, submit yours by going to thedungeonrats.com or by following us on Twitter @thedungeonrats. Feel free to submit whatever you want. You could be like Nick and send in a Dwayne the Rock Gollum Johnson type character that only exists for a short period of time. Or like Austin Lee Pritchett, who created Kanos, who will be around for a little bit longer. Anyway, The Dungeon Rats is produced by Patrick O'Rourke and Carlos Luna. This episode was edited by Carlos Luna. And he wrote all the original music. Rhoda is played by Justine Kruger. Bellegarde is played by Aram Vartian. Bugfly is played by Serena Marie. Daryl is played by Alex Colliard.
Gilf is played by Carlos Luna, and the Dungeon Master is Patrick O'Rourke. Well, that's it for me, the master of the metagame. And don't forget, a true leader always gets the last word.